The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also the last day of our tour here of Southern Florida. We've been here in Miami Springs since last week. We got to go to Sarasota and West Palm Beach and Miami Beach and Port St. Lucie. So we've been all over the state. Big thanks to our supporters who make that happen. And you can help us keep this kind of cannabis journalism, daily cannabis journalism on the air. Just visit 420radio.org. Look for the button on the top that says donate to support 420 Radio, and you can become a VIP member. We're just like public radio. So if you like what you hear, please help support this. If you can afford $10 a month, that'll help keep it free for the people that can't afford it. So that's our mission here. We're a nonprofit. Our idea is to get this information out to as many people as possible. All right, on today's show, all sorts of amazing breaking news in the 420 Radio News headlines about New York City stop and frisk and Oregon, my beloved home state. The governor has signed the dispensary bill. We've got legal dispensaries now in the state of Oregon. We'll tell you more about that in Behind the Headlines as well. For our Daily Toker Tunes today on Irie Wednesday, I had a note that came through my email from a fella out in Europe who wants to be our new Irie Wednesday music editor, and I just got lost in all my, you know, going back and forth across the continent. So I hope he's out there. I hope he's listening. I hope he's still interested, because we could really use an Irie Wednesday editor, someone with great reggae knowledge. He made a suggestion that I play an Ika Mouse tune, so I'm going to play Ika Mouse today, a song we've got in our library called Sensi Party. Also on the show today, Ivan Goldman, the author of the book Sick Justice, is here to talk about our corrupt justice system, our prisons for profit, our over-militarization of the police force, our DEA getting spy information on small-time drug cases. All of that's coming up in our Reformers Reader. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. I've got a take on Dr. Christian Thurstone, the rehab doctor that you saw in that weed documentary on CNN. He's saying the other doctors in the documentary aren't true experts. Oh, really? We'll take a look at that and do some heavy-duty six-point debunking when we come back. It's the Russ Belville Show. We're live from Miami Springs, Florida. We're right back after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 radio news for Wednesday, August 14th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Judge rejects New York's stop-and-frisk policy from the New York Times. A federal judge ruled on Monday that the stop-and-frisk tactics of the New York Police Department violated the constitutional rights of minorities in the city, repudiating a major element in the Bloomberg administration's crime-fighting legacy. Judge Shira A. Scheindlin found that the police department resorted to, quote, a policy of indirect racial profiling, end quote, as it increased the number of stops in minority communities. That has led to officers routinely stopping Black and Hispanics who, quote, would not have been stopped if they were white, end quote. The judge called for a federal monitor to oversee broad reforms, including the use of body-worn cameras for some patrol officers, though she was not ordering an end to the practice of stop and frisk. Mayor Michael R. Bloomberg angrily said, quote, you're not going to see any changes in tactics overnight, end quote. John Kitzhaber, governor of Oregon, signs medical marijuana law. This from OregonLive.com. Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber this morning signed a bill legalizing medical marijuana retail establishments. The law, which moves Oregon's booming medical marijuana industry into the mainstream, creates a registry of businesses that sell the medical marijuana. Patients have long sought retail access to cannabis, arguing that state rules, grow your own or have someone do it for you, are unrealistic. The law comes a year after an investigation by the Oregonian that showed scant state regulation of medical marijuana allowed widespread diversion to the black market. Oregon joins a dozen other states that allow medical marijuana dispensaries or retail outlets. New York City Comptroller Liu wants marijuana legalized, from the Washington Post. New York City Comptroller John Liu is proposing a historic overhaul of the city's marijuana laws, believing that legalizing medical marijuana and allowing adults to possess an ounce of pot for recreational use would pump more than $400 million into the city coffers. The sweeping change, which would put New York at the forefront of a growing national debate over the use of the drug, calls for recreational marijuana to be regulated and taxed like alcohol and tobacco. Liu, the city's top financial officer, who is also running for mayor, commissioned a report that found that New York City has $1.65 billion in a marijuana market. If a 20% excise tax and the standard 8.875% city sales tax is imposed on pot sales, it would yield $400 million annually in revenue, Liu believes. Another $31 million could be saved a year in law enforcement and court costs. Quote, it is economically and socially just to tax it, Liu told the Associated Press in an interview Tuesday. High Times challenges Ole Miss to marijuana potency competition from theclarionledger.com. High Times reported this week that the University of Mississippi claims to have tested a strain of cannabis that registered 37% THC, or tetrahydrocannabinol, the intoxicating chemical in marijuana. That's a higher THC level than any they've tested. High Times said their lab tops out at 25.49% THC. High Times writer Danny Danko said, quote, "No strain we've tested has ever come close to 30% THC, so we'd like to challenge the University of Mississippi to reveal the method and results of their testing, or at least tell us the name of the strain with the 37% THC so that we can further study it," end quote. The magazine also invited the university to enter the Seattle Cannabis Cup September 7th through 8th to compete with other high-potency strains. Panel discusses reforming marijuana laws in Missouri from the Rolla Daily News. John Payne, who heads the Association of Groups and People Who Believe That Cannabis or Marijuana Should Be Legalized, along with St. Louis Police Sergeant and Tea Party spokesman Gary Wiegert and State Representative Paul Kirtman, Republican of Pacific, held a public forum about their views on marijuana reform August 8th at the center in Rolla. In addition to Kirtman, State Representatives Keith Frederick, Republican of Rolla, and Jeff Pogue, Republican of Salem, attended to observe. Frederick promised to include questions about marijuana reform in one of his upcoming constituent surveys. Pogue said as of the end of the 2013 legislative session, he would not support changing Missouri's cannabis laws, but said he approaches the issue with an open mind and agreed to do more research on the subject. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, August 14th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at the bill just passed in Oregon, just signed in Oregon, that legalizes medical marijuana dispensaries in the state. How do its fees compare with other medical marijuana states? Also, a preview of 420 Radio at the Seattle Hemp Fest. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and I'm so excited for my home state of Oregon, where the dispensary bill that passed earlier has now been signed this morning by our Governor John Kitzhaber. This means now that we will have medical marijuana dispensaries in the state. According to a report in the Oregonian earlier this month, the medical marijuana producers will be paid, state-registered cannabis growers, for basically expenses of doing business, including costs related to transferring, handling, security, insuring, testing, packaging, and processing usable marijuana and immature marijuana plants, and the cost of supplies, utilities, rent, or mortgage. So that basically means being able to set our own prices based on the market and the expenses involved. The people responsible for a medical marijuana facility must be an Oregon resident. People convicted of a felony for manufacturing or delivery of a controlled substances are prohibited, which is a little annoying that the people who were getting the medicine to the patients and got caught can't now do it legally.
but we tend to see this when these kind of laws are passed. We have inspection. The Oregon Health Authority can perform inspections at any time, according to this law. And let's see, law enforcement can verify the registry information. The Oregon Health Authority will be charging $4,000 a year. And this leads me to a Twitter conversation that I got in with the reporter from the Oregonian, Noelle Crombie, and she asked me whether or not this was a reasonable fee, $4,000 for a medical marijuana dispensary. And my first thought was, well, reasonable compared to what? Reasonable compared to opening up any other business? I don't know. I don't know what a reasonable fee is for that, but I can look up what the fees are in other medical marijuana states. In Colorado, for example, the fee for opening up the smallest size of dispensary is $7,500. In the law they just passed in Illinois, it's a $5,000 application fee, non-refundable, and then if you're accepted, another $20,000 fee on top of that. In Arizona, it's about a $5,000 fee. So as far as the fees go, I suppose Oregon's is pretty reasonable at $4,000. But again, what is reasonable when your only other alternative is state police busting your business? You know, it's kind of like the mob protection racket. You know, a nice business you got there, it'd be a shame if anything should happen to it. You're going to pay whatever the protection money is. So $4,000, going to have to ask someone who's opening up a dispensary. I don't think it's an exorbitant fee. You know, the medical marijuana will pay for that fee many, many times over. Another aspect that we want to make sure people know is that they expect the registration fees to generate $900,000 in the first two years. It will only be open to Oregon medical marijuana patients. You'll have to have an Oregon card, of course. And the law restricts these facilities from operating within 1,000 feet of a school or 1,000 feet of another facility. They may only operate in a farm or commercial zone, but can't be in the same location as a medical marijuana grow site. It does not block municipalities from adopting their own ordinances on medical marijuana outlets. And the officials are expecting to register 225 outlets in the first 2 years. So that's our Oregon medical marijuana bill that passed. We'll have more information on that. Oregon now joins Arizona, Colorado, New Jersey, Maine, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. with licensed cannabis dispensaries that are up and running. This according to Paul Armentano at Normal. California dispensaries are not licensed by the state, and similar dispensaries are soon to open in Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, Nevada, and New Hampshire. All right, before we end this segment, of course, I want to preview our upcoming shows. Coming up tomorrow, we've got a one-hour special sit-down interview with Robert Platshorn. That's right, Bobby Tuna, America's longest-serving marijuana prisoner, did 29 years in the pen. Now he's with thesilvertour.org, and his infomercial, Should Grandma Smoke Pot? We're going to talk to him in his home in West Palm Beach, Florida, and you'll get to see the whole hour interview tomorrow because I'll be traveling and setting up at the Seattle Hemp Fest, the 22nd Seattle Hemp Fest, the first one to exist where adult possession of marijuana is completely legal. It's 1.6 miles of park, it's 6 stages, it's 3 days, it's 200,000 cannabis consumers that will be celebrating freedom. And I have a feeling we're going to break all attendance records now that marijuana is legal thanks to I-502. There's a lot of 420 representation that will be there. I will be speaking twice and appearing in a hemposium panel on social media. Our own Herb Thrasher will be speaking. Also, Sharon Ravert from our chat room, Georgia Mom from Marijuana, helped set up our Listen to Your Mother segment. She will be there at Seattle Hemp Fest speaking as well. Plus, many people who've been on 420 Radio, our good friend and Gail Bealum will be there. Jody Emery will be there. David Bronner will be there from the Hemp Soaps. Chris Conrad, Mickey Norris, Danny Danko will be there. We'll see Jody Emery, like I mentioned earlier, Rebecca Forbes, who's been on our show, the New Jersey Weed Man, Ed Forcion, Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana, Major Neil Franklin from Leap, Dale Gieringer from California Normal will be there. Mike Gravel, the former Alaska senator who's been a guest on our show. Doug Hyatt, Allison Holcomb from the I-502 campaign. We've got so many people coming. Madeline Martinez from the world-famous Cannabis Cafe will be there. Oh, we're going to have so much fun. Unfortunately, Robert Platshorn won't be able to be there. His probation officer won't let him out of the state. But Lindsey Reinhart, our Idaho medical marijuana patient friend, will be there. We're going to have so much fun. We are going to bring you live coverage, at least audio coverage, as best we can get with our 4G T-Mobile wireless. If we can bring you video from Dab Central, we will. We got new posters. We got new stickers. We got so much swag. You got to show up and get some of it. We got Herb Thrasher stickers. We got Big Daddy Fink stickers. We got Russ Belville Show stickers. We got pins. You got to show up. Dab Central, Seattle Hemp Fest. I'll see you there.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. And as you know, our good friend Brian the Red is on hiatus from the Irie Wednesday selection duties. And he has such an encyclopedic knowledge of reggae music. And I'm completely opposite. I know nothing about the genre, and I'm ill-equipped to be able to pick these tunes. So the position of Irie Wednesday music editor is open. I did receive an email from a fella in Europe who wants to do it, and I sure hope I can get back in touch with him. He thought that I was blowing him off. I've just been on the road and been so busy, I totally missed it. So if you're out there and if you're interested, would still really appreciate having an Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes editor, and especially someone from Europe. That, you know, that's part of the reason of 420 Radio is to take this legalization movement, not just nationwide or continent-wide, but global. We want to hear the voices of the entire marijuana global community on 420 Radio. So if you know someone overseas that wants to get a show on, wants to get a segment on, would like to be a music editor, by all means, send them my way. Send them to 420radio.org/contact, and we'll get them on board. This is Cannabis Community Public Radio, and we are providing a platform for people to be able to host their shows, to be able to record segments, to be able to promote events. That's what this is all about. We're kind of the NPR of POT. And if you can help us be a part of that, that would be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. So the guy who did want to be the Irie Wednesday editor did send me an email. And in that email, he suggested that if I was going to pull any tune up, that I had to pull up something from Ika Mouse. And I say that's a pretty good idea. So here we go. Ika Mouse with Sensi Party.
Bing, gang, 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 gang. Bing, gang, 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 gang. me sight in another corner. The naughty dreading dust a rock with the daughter. Bang, gang, gang, a bang, gang, gang, gang. Bang, gang, gang, a bang, gang, gang, gang. Some a take it like a feed them dinner. Some a take it like a feed them luncher. Some a take it like a feed them breakfaster. Everyone understands in me now. Bang, gang, gang, a bang, gang, gang, gang. Bang, gang, gang, a bang, gang, gang, gang. Them say I sense party. Everyone a jump like them arty. Here come the naughty dreddy. Some of them say him name Freddy. Him say him smoke sense a long time already. Hey. Bang, gang, a bang, gang, gang, gang. Gang, 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 gang. Here comes that Jamaican data. The girl does a chat patwa. Hey, Lord of God, party sense me nya sa. Hey, bang, gang, 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 gang. Bang, gang, 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 gang. All day, all night in the party. Everyone smoking sense me nya. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Some a take it, feed them dinner. The good, good sense in me now. Here comes that dreadlocks daughter. She just come in at the era. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Bang, gang, 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 gang. They me sight in another corner. The naughty dreading doesn't rock him, daughter. Hey. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Here comes that Jamaican girl, sir. The girl does a third pair patwa. Lord of God, when they send Sibina, sir. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Hey. Bang, gang, 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 gang. All day, all night in the party. Everybody does a jump so hearty. Everybody them feeling mighty. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Everyone does a smoking sensi. Bang, gang, 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 sensi. Bang, gang, 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 sensi. Bang, gang, 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 gang. Ay. Bang, gang, 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 gang.
My girlfriend thinks that I smoke too much pot, which is crazy because I think, on the other hand, that I don't smoke enough pot because if I did, I would be finished, and I'm not. Look. We all have our vices in life, you know? I like to smoke a little weed. She likes to feed the baby. Different strokes for different folks, I say, huh? I'm like, look, get off my back. Isn't that your baby crying? Sorry, our baby. Blow a little weed on it, it'll sleep. Don't hiss, I'm just kidding. Like, I really have a girlfriend. Just a baby, it's weird.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and really excited to have our next guest on the program. It is Ivan Goldman. He's the author of a book called Sick Justice, and given some of the stories we've been covering here on 420 Radio, we couldn't have had a better guest to get on here. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. Good to be here.
So glad to have you here. You know, the scandals that I'm referring to, of course, when we talk about the drug war, the most recent one to get ink in the New York Times and other papers, Reuters reported that the DEA was passing along all this spy information to local cops, and then local cops were covering up the original source of the tips in the investigation. Can you tell us how this drug war policing works and how they've been getting away with that for so long?
Well, some of this, a lot of this, comes from the Patriot Act, which was passed very quickly. And another thing that's going on in that Patriot Act, by the way, is it allows the feds to do what they call a black bag search. That's when they go into your home and look around, open your drawers, your medicine cabinet, look for stuff, see what you got. And then cover it all back up again, so you don't know they were there. The Patriot Act gave them the right to do this, and it turns out that something like about 99% of these black bag searches, and there have been hundreds, had to do with drugs. They had nothing to do with terrorism. Terrorism was less than 1%. So it all just ties together. When they get more power, they use it, and they're often using it in their cockamamie war on drugs.
Well, even before the passage of the Patriot Act, the war on drugs has been used to decimate civil liberties, especially our Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. You make note of the fact we've got 2.3 million people behind bars, 5% of the world's population, 25% of the world's prisoners. How much of that owes to prisons and policing for profit?
Well, you can't separate it, but there is a very large, active lobby in favor of locking people up. There's money in it. It's not just the private prisons. They have only a small part of it, but all prisons have what they call vendors, people bringing in candy bars and people handling the telephone, the telephones for the prisoners, for which they pay roughly 10 times as much for a long-distance call as just about anybody else. And the prison guards, the bailiffs, the judges, the prosecutors, there are just thousands and thousands of people living off the war on drugs. And about half of our prisoners are in there for drug-related offenses. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but one thing we should always remember is if there's no victim, there probably wasn't a crime. And that's a good thing for us to remember.
Well said. We're speaking with Ivan Goldman. He's the author of Sick Justice, Inside the American Gulag. It's available from Potomac Books, the University of Nebraska Press. You can check out PotomacBooksInc.com for some information. And the other thing, the other big story having to do with our sick justice system was Attorney General Eric Holder in a speech to the American Bar Association calling for reforms that might alleviate some of the mandatory minimum sentencing that goes on in these drug crimes. Do you take Holder at his word, given his previous promises on not enforcing medical marijuana laws and such?
Well, I'm going to take it as a good sign. You know, I was against the Iraq War, and a lot of people didn't figure out they were against the Iraq War until it had gone on, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And then there were some people who said, no, they're no good. They were for the war. Now they're against it. And I said, and I say now, you know, if you want to join my side, you're welcome. and if Eric Holder really means it, that's great. But I would point out that, you know, he's been the attorney general for 5 years. During the 5 years, he's prosecuted thousands and thousands of people in the war on drugs and two bankers. And the two bankers he just charged, I think it was today or yesterday, for bringing down the world economy and taking away the jobs, the homes, and the pensions of millions of people. Two prosecutions. But in the war on drugs, untold thousands.
You know, I'm coming to you today. I'm on tour. I'm in Miami Springs, Florida, and just a couple of miles away is the Miami-Dade Correctional Facility, their county jail. And there was a story that came up on the local news where the guards apparently allowed these doors to simultaneously open in the maximum security unit so three gang members could go attack one of their enemies. He jumped off a balcony so that he could save himself, breaking his back and his ankle in the process. And that just leads me to ask, you know, how much can you tell us about the corruption that this over-incarceration and this drug war has wrought inside our prisons and inside our police forces?
Well, again, you can't measure it, but it's just huge. You take somebody who's nonviolent and hasn't committed a crime that has any victim, and you put them in prison with psychopaths. And he learns all the wrong lessons. he learns how to survive through violence and lying and just he doesn't learn how to survive by doing nice things. People who survive prison rather well don't make for good citizens. And guards all across America, we know this, we see this over and over, like this ugly story you're telling from Florida, where the guards sort of just let the worst of the worst dominate the prison. And why? Because they figured that will make the guards safer. If we throw them, you know, a bone, someone to pick on, someone to beat up, someone to rape, they won't bother us so much. And that's how it works.
Yeah, that's just obscene. There's another point you make in this book, Sick Justice Inside the American Gulag, that I think is kind of the hidden side of this war on drugs. And it has to do with the mentally ill and how in the early 80s, we saw the Reagan administration have mass closings of facilities for the mentally ill. At about the same time, we see an uptick in the imprisonment for drug crimes. So how can we address this mental health crisis, and how much does it play into this over-incarceration?
Well, it also plays into the war on drugs, because a lot of these people who are mentally ill are self-medicating with something, and because they can't get treatment. You know, if you think about it, we probably all know people who looked for treatment for something. Maybe it was substance abuse. Maybe it was schizophrenia. And if you don't have money, you can't find the treatment. But there's always a jail cell open. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. When they make an arrest, they don't say, well, hell, we don't have room in the jail, we're going to let you go home. No, they take you to jail. There's always a jail cell open. And so it is all related. What we have is it's a punitive society. But Americans aren't really all that ugly and punitive, but somehow we've allowed this structure to build itself and maintain itself, and the people who are suffering from it are largely people we don't see because they're behind walls.
Yeah, it's just a shame, the warehousing of so many mentally ill people, poor people, so many minorities that is now just becoming clearer and clearer to even people in the mainstream. Some of these racial disparities were just pointed out today in a decision by a New York federal judge on NYPD's practice of stop and frisk being disproportionately and constitutionally unfair to minorities. Tell us what you've learned in researching your book about this racial disparity. Disparity in our prison systems?
Well, you know, the blacks and Hispanics are way, way overrepresented in prison. Now, a lot of people would say, well, they have more criminals. But as you know, in the stop and frisk, you know, the good thing is we have a lot of good statistics, and we know that minorities are no more likely to be smoking marijuana than anybody else. it's pretty much throughout our culture. But blacks are something like 8 times more likely to be pulled over on suspicion of drugs than whites. So clearly, there's something wrong there. And there's a lot of racial discrimination in the whole system.
All right, we've got to wrap up, but the book again is Sick Justice: Inside the American Gulag. And one last question, Ivan Goldman, as you were researching the book, I mean, you and I and a lot of our audience are pretty well educated on this issue of drug war and imprisonment. Did you find any statistic or study or story that really caught you by surprise or shocked you?
Yeah. Atiba Parker. What's Eric Holder going to do about Atiba Parker? He's doing time in Mississippi. He's doing 42 years for a very, very small quantity of drugs. It was crack, which I admit, about as much as you would find in a sugar packet. He's doing 42 years, and he is mentally ill. He's been diagnosed as mentally ill. So what are we going to do about guys like him? He's in his 20s. I'm not going to do the math, but he's going to be there a long, long time. He's not a dangerous guy. And I want to say one more thing. I'm talking about Atiba Parker because this is one of many, many people who was drawn into committing what authorities call a crime. In other words, he was a guy who was doing drugs, self-medicating, and he ran into a police informant who coerced him, who bugged him, who said, you know, come on, sell me some stuff. I need stuff. I need marijuana. I need crack. You know, I'll buy all you've got. And another thing they do is they make sure the sale occurs within 2 blocks of a school. Mm-hmm. That makes it, that means they can put them away for longer. So somebody ought to ask Mr. Holder what he's going to do about Atiba Parker. Because we have a lot of Atiba Parkers. We have, you know, he's just one guy I know about. But when you have 2.3 million stories, there are a lot of stories like Atiba Parker.
Yeah, too many. And thank you for telling us the story of Atiba Parker. The book is Sick Justice: Inside the American Gulag.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older.
Automation software went crazy on me there. Sorry for the blast of sound there, Ivan, and thanks for joining us. All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical man. We're going to take a look at the latest reaction. This is the Sonic.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks. Well, the rehabitionists are just losing their minds over the CNN Dr. Sanjay Gupta weed documentary. I already did a rant on prohibitionists furiously spinning Dr. Sanjay Gupta's weed. You know, I tackled the bleedings of social policy PhD Kevin Sabet and Project Sam. You know, they were responding to the neurosurgeon Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And if you've been following my rants for a while, you know that Kevin Sabet is the Joker to my Batman. If only I had Bruce Wayne's bank account. If so, then Dr. Christian Thurstone is the Riddler. He sort of looks like Frank Gorsham anyway. Dr. Thurstone is one of the Denver area's leading rehab businessmen and an opponent of both Colorado Amendment 64, legal weed, and 20, medical marijuana. Because, you know, the children! Now, normally, I try not to hurl too many stones at people with advanced degrees, you know, from my college dropout house. I respect the talent, dedication, perseverance, and debt that it takes to get a PhD or an MD. But lately, I've noticed that some of the people like Dr. Sabet and Dr. Thurstone don't extend that same respect to their colleagues, some of whom have far more relevant experience and education in the fields of science and medicine. Sabet. The latest missive from Dr. Christian Thurstone is entitled, Riggs, What Was CNN Smoking? Now, it loses points not only for hack use of a pop pun headline, but also for daring to impugn the credentials of the doctors, medical science doctors, in the Dr. Sanjay Gupta special, as he introduces a guest piece from his colleague, Dr. Paula Riggs. This is Thurstone writing, quote, Dr. Paula Riggs, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Colorado, is a true expert, not a self-proclaimed expert, in the research and treatment of marijuana addiction. She has extensive experience in clinical practice and research, and also peer-reviewed publications in the field. Unlike some of the sources Dr. Gupta and the CNN production team chose to feature at great length. Okay. Well, I've had the privilege of interviewing a couple of those doctors from the CNN Gupta special. That would be Dr. Carl Hart and Dr. Julie Holland on my radio shows in the past. And in preparing for these interviews, I have to research the resume of the people I'm interviewing. Now, I know they are both as loath to wave their CV around as any respectable professional would, so let me do it for them. Dr. Carl Hart is an associate professor of psychology in both the departments of psychiatry and psychology at Columbia University and director of the Residential Studies and Methamphetamine Research Laboratories at the New York State Psychiatric Institute. A major focus of Dr. Hart's research is to understand complex interactions between drugs of abuse and the neurobiology and environmental factors that mediate human behavior and physiology. He is the author or co-author of dozens of peer-reviewed scientific articles in the area of neuropsychopharmacology, co-author of the textbook Drugs, Society, and Human Behavior, and a member of the National Institute of Health Review Group. Dr. Hart was recently elected to fellow status by the American Psychological Association Division 28 for his outstanding contribution to the field of psychology, specifically psychopharmacology and substance abuse. In addition to his substantial research responsibilities, Dr. Hart teaches undergraduate and graduate courses and was recently awarded Columbia University's Highest Teaching Award. Dr. Julie Holland is a board-certified psychiatrist in New York City. As an undergraduate at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Holland majored in Biological Basis of Behavior, a series of courses combining the study of psychology and the neural sciences, with a concentration in psychopharmacology, or drugs and the brain. In 1992, Dr. Holland received her medical degree from Temple University School of Medicine, where she performed research on auditory hallucinations, extensively interviewing nearly 100 psychotic patients. In 1996, she completed a psychiatric residency at Mount Sinai Medical Center, where she was the creator of a research project treating schizophrenics with a new medication, obtaining an IND from the Food and Drug Administration. In 1994, she received the Outstanding Resident Award from the National Institute of Mental Health. From 1996 to 2005, Dr. Holland ran the psychiatric emergency room of Bellevue Hospital on Saturday and Sunday nights. Wow. A liaison to the hospital's medical emergency room and toxicology department, she is considered an expert on street drugs and intoxication states, and lectures widely on this topic. Those are a couple of the doctors that rehab owner Dr. Christian Thurstone claims are self-proclaimed experts, not true experts. Now, I can't speak directly to the credentials of Dr. Alan Shackelford or any of the other doctors in America and Israel who were featured on the documentary, but I'm assured they are all well qualified to speak on the issue of marijuana. So I was just curious what Dr. Thurstone's true expert, Dr. Paula Riggs, had to say about the CNN Sanjay Gupta special. Here are some of her complaints. Number one. The documentary conveyed that habitual marijuana smokers were less impaired drivers compared to occasional smokers, based on CNN's anecdotal demonstration that included two individuals. Oh, well, yeah, okay, let's not say that pot-smoking drivers who have experience are better drivers than pot-smoking drivers who have little experience, unless we have some studies to back that up, right? You know, like D'Souza et al., 2008, quote, frequent users of cannabis are either inherently blunted in their response to and or develop tolerance to the psychomimetic perceptual altering, amnestic, endocrine, and other effects of cannabinoids, end quote. Or Remakers et al., 2009, quote, THC did not affect the performance of heavy cannabis users, except in the stop signal task. Cannabis use history strongly determines the behavioral response to single doses of THC, end quote. Or Dr. Carl Hart et al., 2010, quote, frequent marijuana users may show fewer behavioral signs of disruption during intoxication than infrequent users, end quote. Or Raymakers again, et al., 2010, quote, heavy cannabis users develop tolerance to the impairing effects of THC on neurocognitive task performance, end quote. Sure, CNN only showed two examples. It's not like they had an entire week to show all of them. But the science backs them up on this. Experienced cannabis consumers develop tolerance to the impairing effects of THC. She continues. The documentary clearly promoted the use of smoked medical marijuana and did not mention alternatives, such as synthetic THC. Yeah, because Marinol pills are not an alternative for that 19-year-old guy who'd have to swallow them while he's having diaphragmatic seizures and have to wait 45 minutes the digestion time it takes for them to take effect. And they don't work. Besides, the show is called Weed, not Pills. Marinol's already legal. It doesn't need a documentary. Paula Riggs continues. The documentary did indicate that marijuana is addictive, stating that 9% or 1 in 11 of individuals who smoke marijuana progress to addiction or dependence. However, CNN did not distinguish between adults and adolescents who have been shown to have greater vulnerability to cannabis addiction. Oh, my. Well, look, folks, first, that 9% statistic from National Institutes of Drug Abuse actually does include all pot smokers from age 12 to death. And the stupid 1 in 6 adolescents get addicted statistics? Huh, that comes from rehabitionists adding together percentages from separate youth groups. Don't have time to explain the math as to why you can't add percentages of groups, but just suffice to say it's junk science, junk statistics. And besides, these addiction statistics are so easy to debunk if you just think about it. In 2011, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health said there were 108 million people who admit that they have tried marijuana. 61.7 million of them tried it before age 18. So 1/6 of them, or about 10.2 million, should be marijuana addicts. Or just take NIDA's original 1 out of 11 stat against the 108 million, and you get 9.7 million marijuana addicts. Okay, so if there's supposed to be somewhere between 9.7 and 10.2 million marijuana addicts, how come that same national survey on drug use and health tells us that there are only 3.4 million aged 12 and older who admit to smoking pot every day of the month? Well, look, if you want to get that figure of regular marijuana smokers up to 10 million of them, you have to include everyone who smokes pot 8 days a month or more. 8 days a month. That's twice a week. Also, consider that there are 30 million people who smoke pot annually. So Dr. Riggs is asserting that one out of three pot smokers is an addict? Well, yeah, I suppose if you count every person who smokes pot on the weekends as an addict. But crap, by that standard, we got to start worrying about all the alcoholics who are drinking beer on the weekends. She continues, 4. The documentary created confusion about the potential benefits of cannabidiol, also called CBD, versus the high THC content of most medical and recreational marijuana products. I was most concerned by the suggestion that cannabis may be neuroprotective, for example, build her brain. Oh, you mean that high THC that you mentioned was medically beneficial in the Marinol pills that you talked about in complaint number 2? Or the high THC content found in the herb that was being smoked by the 19-year-old with the diaphragmatic spasms? And as for build her brain, how about this study from Wolf et al. 2010 that concluded CB1 affected stages of adult neurogenesis that involve intermediate highly proliferative progenitor cells and the survival and maturation of new neurons. The pro-neurogenic effects of CBD might explain some of the positive therapeutic features of CBD-based compounds. End quote. She continues, Dr. Riggs, although there are certainly individuals with medical conditions whose use of marijuana supports more research, the CNN documentary was scientifically imbalanced and irresponsible in suggesting positive health and psychological benefits for which there is little to no evidence. Yeah, other than what you saw with your own lying eyes. More research, she says, even though I was just able to find 23,997 studies on cannabinoids in the government's own PubMed database, dating as far back as 1938. Well, maybe that 24,000th study will finally convince her there's enough research. And her final complaint, the many positive claims of health benefits associated with medical marijuana were not balanced by the scientifically known health risks associated with marijuana use. Yeah, she goes there. She even includes that widely debunked 8-point reduction in IQ talking point. And she even goes so far as to compare it to, quote, a public health crisis comparable to the impact of environmental lead poisoning. Yeah. Marijuana use is as bad as lead poisoning. According to a 2002 study by Landrigan et al., lead poisoning cost U.S. healthcare $43.4 billion every year. And the World Health Organization notes that lead poisoning causes 1 out of 500 deaths every year. She then crusades for the children, you know, the juvenile delinquents that are sure to be born to pot-smoking moms, the toddlers who might accidentally eat a pot brownie, the teenagers on not your father's Woodstock weed who are damaging their brains, and the few chronic tokers who smoke themselves into a vomiting fit. Well, that clinches it. We better keep it illegal for adults whose brains have already developed, who are less likely to get addicted, and are able to pickle their livers with alcohol and blacken their lungs with tobacco because, you know, marijuana is bad for children. Well, look, while I enjoy wading in the minutiae of all of these drug warriors, I've got a much simpler way for you to debunk them anytime. Whatever talking point comes out of their mouth, you just respond with, oh, so that's why we need to continue wasting law enforcement resources on imprisoning cannabis farmers and marijuana dealers. Oh, that's why adults who smoke pot must be forced into rehab with piss tests at the threat of jail. God, from the way they complain, you'd think they were proposing blunt wraps and a dime bag in the school lunch. That's all the time we got, folks. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Bobby Platshorn, 1 hour tomorrow special, and Seattle Hemp Fest on Friday. We'll see you there. Until next time, take care of each other, talkers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you